Hit it. Welcome to the Barrel Rollers podcast for the week of June 28th, episode 14, First Person Shooters, We Can Do It.
I'm Cody. I'm Nick. Okay. He's Nick, I'm Cody. And this is the Barrel Rollers podcast. If you couldn't guess by the witty title, we're going to be talking about The Conduit, and you can thank Nick for that title. But we're going to save The Conduit till the end, because we're probably going to drone on and on about how we love it and how we hate it and how we played it. But so we're going to get rid of all the important stuff first. And our first story is something that's a real trendy topic nowadays: digital distribution. Now, I blogged about this, and basically what I said is there definitely is a market for digital distribution in the casual gamers, because they don't care. Like, well, they don't care about owning their games, but I feel as a hardcore gamer, there's nothing better than that tangible feeling of owning a game. Like, nothing beats the smell of a new game case.
Yes and no. I agree. I absolutely agree with you about having something tangible. I've been feeling the same way about that for with movies for years now. Owning the Star Wars trilogy on DVD and having the Star Wars trilogy on your computer is just not the same thing. And no. I've been feeling that way about even like virtual console downloads. Owning the NES cartridge versus having the game on your Wii, they're just not the same. And I don't know. I just think that digital distribution just leaves so much room for problems, especially for collectors. Collectors, you have a game, you put it on your bookshelf, that's it. It's always going to be there, no matter what. Digital games have the chance of being deleted. They have the chance of becoming corrupt. They have so many chances of getting lost somewhere in the digital world that, especially if you get a new computer, your account changes, or something happens with your account, or the owner of the service that you downloaded it for goes out of business, especially with Steam games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's always kind of been one of my thoughts. Like, what are you going to do like 30 years from now if you want to go back and play that game? It's right. Just not – that's my biggest fear about it, because like, I buy games to play them, obviously, but I like to collect them too.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just makes it a huge hassle being completely untangible like that.
And if you really don't understand what Nick means by he likes to collect them, he still has about 15 N64 game cases.
Yeah, N64 is where it's at.
But you know, what I posted in this is I'm a big provider of Steam. I really like their service, and I realize that is digital distribution, but there's a difference. When I download something from Steam, I can delete it. I can do whatever I want to it. I can even back it up to a disc. And I feel that's the main thing, is backing it up to a disc, there's nothing better, because that's the closest to a tangible feel you're going to get. And the best part is, if you back it up to a disc, you can just you can reinstall it without downloading it over again. And I honestly don't think that it's the same experience as on a console, because on a console you can't burn a disc. It's just – it's not possible at this time. I don't think it ever will be. And the other thing is that with Steam, you have one universal account. You can put it on as many computers as you want, but you can only have one computer logged in at a time, which it definitely cuts down on piracy. But I don't think they can say the same thing for consoles, because they're just too afraid of like people hacking the system.
Yeah, I don't know. And the thing with digital distribution that we really should be talking about is how soon is it coming?
Right.
I mean, it's obviously started right now. It's been on PCs for years with things like Steam and stuff like that. And I mean, it's just becoming more and more popular as the years go on. I can definitely see PCs becoming all digital much, much sooner than consoles.
Oh, definitely.
Consoles aren't completely there yet. Consoles still rely on tangible games in order to provide their games. They still rely on discs. not so much cartridges anymore, but you get what I mean. It's more tangible data. The biggest problem with this, with not having the tangible disc, is hard drive space. And I think that if you're gonna have a console that relies so heavily on digital distribution, you better be able to put a huge ass hard drive in there in order to support all these games that a lot of the hardcore gamers buy.
No, that was exactly another one of my points, is that with a computer and Steam, you can obviously, hard drives are cheap. You can buy like 1 terabyte for like 80, 90 bucks. You can put it in. That'll basically hold all the games you'll ever need for like the next 5 or 6 years. You can delete it if you want to, but you don't have to. There's just too much space. There's enough space available that you don't have to, like, you don't have to add storage for a while. Whereas with these consoles, the highest amount you get is 120 gigabytes. With the Xbox 360 or the PS3, the highest amount you get is 120 gigabytes. The problem with that is a regular, like, you can rip your games to the 360 hard drive so that it can run faster and run cooler, and it doesn't have to spin the CD drive. But the problem with that is it's close to 7 gigs on average for a disc. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot, but once you start downloading games, you can only have like, what is that, 16, it's like 16 or 17 games. And then with PS3, it's even worse because a Blu-ray can hold up to 25 gigabytes, and I'm just gonna estimate that the average one has 17. So that limits you even more. I mean, if they really want to do digital distribution, they have to allow some way to re-download it or to increase storage.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I mean, Nintendo, talk about, they're so far away from that actually happening. I mean, they don't even have a hard drive in
You
the
know
Wii.
what though? I think they're the closest out of them all.
Why do you say that?
Because as of this last firmware update, you can put a 32 GB flash card in there, and at least those are easily removable, and you don't have to like buy any special equipment or hack it. Like, I'm pretty sure for the PS3, you have to physically open it up, and I think you have to buy a specific type of drive to put one in.
Right. Well, for the Xbox 360, they have interchangeable hard drives
Yeah, but
for.
they're pretty expensive, and you have to buy specific ones if you want it to work reliably. What I'm saying is the Wii has, it's basically a, yeah, it's an SD card. It might cost like 50 bucks. It's like 40 or 50 bucks to get a 32 gig. But I'm pretty sure it's the closest thing to removable storage that any one of the three consoles has.
But do you think it's practical to be saving these huge games on nothing but flash memory?
Yes, flash memory is the most reliable out of all the hard drives. Because
Interesting.
think about it. The current hard drives are spinning disks. All hard drives right now are basically spinning disks. They're just a bunch of platters that are balanced very nicely on a tiny spindle, and they're constantly moving. With flash memory and stuff like solid state drives, there's no moving parts. All it is electricity being stored in circuits. So I mean, it's not only quicker, but it's more reliable, and there's less like room for corruption.
All right, that's interesting. So, Cody, how long do you think before the gaming world is completely digital?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, it really all depends if online picks up, but even if that happens, I don't think hardcore gamers are going to go to OnLive because it just seems so gimmicky.
I
And
think it's definitely going to be a slow transition, though.
oh, definitely, it's going to be a slow and hard transition. And
Gonna happen. It's just I don't think it's gonna happen like you're not gonna wake up tomorrow and all the systems are suddenly gonna be completely hard drive driven. I think we still have at least a generation or two of systems to go before systems have no way of putting physical media into them.
I don't think there will ever be a time in which everything's going to be digital. I honestly think that you need some, that there's obviously going to be that section of people who want the core physical, tangible feel of a game case. And I honestly don't think that's going to go away. So
Well, let's compare it with something else right now. Let's compare it to how music has become. I mean, there are definitely those people out there that are like, I like CDs.
Hey.
I like having the CD. I'm like that too. I like having the actual physical CD
Well, I do it
with
for a
the
number
little
of reasons.
booklet. And I mean, it is overall, it is cheaper than buying the songs online individually. But I mean, there's not a lot of people out there that feel that way, that feel like they really want to have that tangible CD and feel like it's just as easy to get it on iTunes or Amazon MP3.
Well, here's the thing is that it's not really a price difference right now. The prices are pretty much the same. I personally buy CDs because the sound quality is just superb on CDs. I mean, if you're going to go – I mean, a lot of people can't tell the difference between an MP3 and a CD, like, audio sound, but there are definitely differences. And the way an MP3 is compressed, it's horrible sound quality. And that's why I buy CDs, so that in the future, once I get, like, a huge home theater system, I'll be able to hear everything and it won't sound like compressed crap.
All right, I think we should move on. I think we definitely covered that.
Yeah, that was a good one. Okay, this next one we're just going to touch on briefly. Steve Ballmer, CEO of Microsoft, you talked about him last week. He apologized for his ambiguous language about referencing or implying that they're going to be a new console. I mean, nothing big. We weren't expecting a new console considering they announced at E3 that not only is it less – the Xbox 360 is less than halfway through its life cycle, but that Natal was going to be working on every system. I think it was expected.
Yeah, I was after the Microsoft press conference at E3, I really wasn't expecting any new consoles from Microsoft. They seemed pretty intent on putting Project Natal specifically on the Xbox 360.
I could see a hardware refresh for next year, but that's nothing big. They have a hardware refresh like every single year.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be anything crazy new.
No.
As far as Xbox goes, the Xbox 360 is only gaining momentum as it's going, so I don't see any changes.
Yeah. Okay. Next story, we're just going to touch on. Actually, there really is no story. It's just the Wii now. In Japan, anyways, you can buy it in colors. The article we have, it shows the Wii and all of its accessories in black, and then it shows a Wii Remote and Nunchuck with blue. And it also shows, really interesting, a blue Wii protective case, which I thought was weird.
I think the black Wii Remote and Nunchuck looks really awesome.
Yeah, it does look pretty – it looks pretty badass, to be honest with you. I mean, they were just bragging about how many colors this thing was going to come in before the Wii even got announced. I mean, you even saw ads in Nintendo Power. So, I mean, it's about time.
I was just really surprised that they kept just the white for so long. I mean, what I think happened is that they were planning on releasing more colors, but then they realized that the color white became almost a symbol of their new system, and they didn't want to kill that feel.
Yeah.
So they just kept it going.
That's a good reason. I'm just surprised it took so long because, I mean, with the GameCube, you had colors instantly. I mean, there's colors
right
everywhere.
Right at the launch, you could choose between black and purple.
I mean, didn't they have that, like, special edition Legend of Zelda silver?
Yeah, they had a silver for a while. That thing was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I forget exactly why they had it, but it was pretty
cool. I think it was for the Legend of Zelda, the Wind Waker, or maybe the collector's edition with the four games on it.
Oh, that's what it was for. I'm pretty sure that was it. The Legend of Zelda Collector's Edition.
Yeah.
Something like that. That was.
I think I had a cousin who got that, and he didn't like Zelda, so he gave me the game but kept the GameCube.
Yeah, no, I have that game too. It's one of my favorite GameCube games.
Yeah, it's game. There's four games in one.
Yeah.
Oh. One of my favorite Collector's Editions. I kind of wish I still had mine.
Yeah, no, I still have mine. It's pretty up there right now if you want a copy of it, because Nintendo released it for so limited of a period of time.
Yeah. I actually, before I got my Wii, because once I found out that it was going to have GameCube stuff, like GameCube compatibility, I slowly sold off every single one of my games. I think I sold you a memory card, and I sold Dave a memory card. But I just slowly sold off every single one of my things. I was surprised at how much money I got for that thing. It was like $21, and it was 5 years old. I was just ecstatic.
Yeah. No, well, Nintendo only released it for like a few months.
Yeah.
You could only get it through either buying a new GameCube or with a subscription to Nintendo Power. I got mine the second way because I had had my GameCube since launch. But
yeah. But that's
all right. What else we got, Cody?
Okay, Netflix on the Wii. Rumor has it Netflix Well, I shouldn't say rumor has it. Netflix has been trying to spread their instant streaming all around. They got it on PCs and Macs now. I'm pretty sure you can get it on Linux too. They have it on the 360, and I think they also have it on TiVo. I could be wrong though. But they're trying to get it everywhere as possible. So apparently they're going to be trying to get for the Wii. And the way they're going to do it is you get a disc that has the Netflix streaming app on it. and I guess you just access the content from there. But what's more interesting is that Nintendo won't allow them to do that because they're going to be launching their own streaming service.
Well, they didn't. The article didn't say that they wouldn't allow them to
Well,
do
no,
it,
but
but they're and definitely anticipating some not so happy feedback from Nintendo. I really hope Nintendo goes along with it because I think it's another great way Nintendo can appeal to the casual gamer because it's obviously like their undying passion now. But I think Netflix on the Wii is definitely plausible, especially with a disc-based app like that. I
I
don't
still wish it
think
was
it makes sense
download.
not doing it. Yeah, I mean, a downloadable app would be great, but like to me, this having it being disc-based, one, it saves space on your Wii, and two, I mean, it's a disc. If it's an app, if it's a huge app, then I mean, none of Nintendo's apps that they've been coming out with seem to be that big. And if it's a really big app, then I can understand them putting it on a disc. I mean, what is it? I mean, what's the problem with just popping a Netflix disc in when you want to watch a movie? It's no worse than popping a DVD in.
You really want to have this conversation again?
No, it's. But yeah, that's my feelings towards it. No matter how, as long as once the video is streaming, it looks good and it looks like you're actually watching a DVD and not some crappy YouTube video, then I'm pretty sure people will go along with it.
So that's the problem I have, is because I honestly think the internet has never actually worked well on the Wii. I mean, even with games, with and even the internet channel, it never worked well, and that's my only concern.
It's had its problems, but I think it's getting better. So
Yeah, we'll
I
talk
don't know.
about that later.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to talk about that later. But yeah, what else we got?
Okay, this is an interesting story. This doesn't affect us directly, but it's just interesting. So the Australian government is going to be filtering websites and downloadable services, and they will block you from downloading any games that they believe are not suitable for 15-year-olds. Which, really? How many games can you think of that aren't suitable for 15-year-olds? I can think of quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's not America, so I don't
No.
really know much about the Australian government, but I don't know. So you can buy games that are mature, but you can't download games that are mature. Am I right about that?
I think you can buy them in stores. I don't think you can buy them online.
Right, you just can't download them, right?
It does not seem to say anything about buying them in stores. Which makes sense because I guess it's harder for the government to regulate who buys what in stores. But I think their main fear is that if you're online, they can't do any like age verification. Whereas if you're in a store, I mean, I've been carded before
Right.
for trying to buy Resident Evil.
Right. It makes sense. It makes sense. It's just a question of censorship, which is the same problem we're facing here right now, especially with that new California legislation that wants to crack down on the ESRB.
Wait, what was that? I didn't hear about that.
No, we talked about it in an earlier podcast about how there are these lawmakers that are trying to get mature games that need to have a lot more warnings on the cover, a bigger sticker saying that it's for more mature gamers, stuff like that.
Oh,
We
yeah, okay.
talked about it a few podcasts ago, but I mean, I think it's all the same problems. I mean, it's sounds like what do you want? Like the lesser of two evils, either censorship or immature kids getting their hands on mature games.
Right. Well,
And I
seriously, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a lot worse things for kids to be looking on the internet for than video games.
No, I know, but I mean, I can understand why it can be a concern for
Yeah.
some people. So, I mean, it's just a question of how you deal with it. Should
Right.
it be the government saying kids can't do it, or should it be the parents closer monitoring it?
Parents, all the way. But I think what's wh I do I don't agree with this, but I think there's one thing I don't agree with more, and that on the link we have, under the picture, there's a caption that says Fallout 3 was banned from sale in Australia until it was modified to remove objectionable content. Why would you ever remove objectionable content from a game? I mean, that's like buying a CD at Walmart that's been edited. It just loses its original value.
Yeah, no, I definitely hear you, but hey, I guess that's what you're gonna do.
Like, I mean, seriously, with Fallout 3, I played that game because it had objectionable content. There is nothing better than blowing someone's head off with a sniper rifle. It's just fun.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the game, people, not in real life. I've never dealt with a sniper rifle. Anyways, moving on.
Sure.
Okay, so we don't really th this isn't really a story. I just found it interesting in that the development kit for Project Natal is out, but the development kit for the PSI is not. And I find that interesting because the PSI or the PS motion Sony's motion detection has already been given a launch date for next spring, but they have no development kit available. But yet Project Natal has no release date yet, and they do have a development kit. It's really weird the way they're playing this. I mean, it seems like Microsoft's got their crap together.
Well, at least according to this article, this is what THQ says they have.
Oh, yeah.
So unless Sony just hates THQ, then I mean, it seems like it's reliable to say that Sony's development kit isn't out yet.
A little bit of a tangent, but one of the stories I didn't put in the lineup was THQ actually split into three. That basically the entire company split. They're still THQ, but they split into three different sections. They have one dedicated to hardcore gamers, they have one dedicated to online stuff, and they have another one dedicated to family things.
See, that's really interesting because when most people think THQ, what do they think? They think casual gamer stuff or like kid gamer stuff,
Not
like.
really, because it was interesting because in the article it listed a bunch of hardcore games that were actually developed by sub companies of THQ that THQ had owned. They actually got a decent amount of hardcore games. They got like Dawn of War was the biggest one I think that was on there.
Well, I just when I think THQ strictly, I think of like Nickelodeon games
Oh
and
yeah,
like
that's true.
all that kind of stuff that like it's more kid appealish, but
Right.
I mean it's interesting that it split up like that.
Yeah. I just thought I didn't realize this article had THQ in it, but I thought that was a very interesting tidbit.
Yeah.
And now the moment you, me, and Nick have all been waiting for.
Oot.
The conduit.
Yeah. We got it.
We
And
got
we're
it.
going to talk about it because it is pretty good game, I'm not going to lie.
Now, I wrote today I wrote up an entire review. I wouldn't say it's an entire review. It's definitely a good description of what you'd be in for. So if I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But Nick, I want to hear what you have to say about the conduit.
All right, so I got the conduit a few days ago, and I have to admit, I haven't gotten really, really far into it. I played some of the single player, probably about probably about 3 hours or so of single player, and about 3 or 4 hours or so of multiplayer. And I have to say, I'm for overall impressed. All right, here's how I break it down. The graphics are a bit more of a mixed bag than I was expecting.
Definitely.
The main the items like your guns, your hands, the all-seeing eye, the enemies, and like all the character models in general look absolutely fantastic. And I mean, if you just took that part of the game, you might be wondering what system you're playing on,
Yeah.
whether you're playing it on an Xbox or a Wii. You know, I mean, some of those things definitely look that good. But I'm not gonna lie, some of the environments are a bit, I don't want to say like they're not like pixely or choppy
They look
or
very foggy.
fussy, but like they're just very flat and like it just doesn't look like they put a whole lot of time into like really fleshing out these environments to make them look real. They just look very bland.
Yeah,
Like, I don't, there's no other way to describe it. It's not like they look bad, they're just bland.
yeah, thinking about it now, it really looks like someone just spray painted fog on them. I mean, it has that like kind of dusty old look.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just, there's something that doesn't feel polished about the environments like all the actual objects in the game do. Like,
Right.
the objects themselves in the game that you interact with are really good. Like, they look great. The
Bas
lighting and shadows on them are fantastic.
Oh yeah. Basically anything that moves looks fantastic, but like floors and walls and like bookshelves and stuff, anything that's texture based just doesn't look that good.
Yeah, it like I said though, it's not that it looks bad. It's not like you
Right.
walk up to it and it looks like a mush ball.
It just doesn't seem to
It's just
fit.
not that detailed.
Right.
So that's my feeling about the graphics. The gameplay really depends on what mode you're playing. I played a little bit of the single player mode, and I was kind of surprised because it wasn't as really engaging as I was hoping it would be. It
Right.
feels very much like an old school first person shooter where you go forward a little bit, there's dudes, you shoot them, you go forward a little bit, there's dudes, you shoot them. It's just like, and like the environments don't, I don't know. It always made me feel like it might be part storytelling wise, but it never really made me feel like that me being in these certain environments was like dreadfully important.
Right.
Like, I don't know. It just kind of made me feel like, oh, you're in this area now. Go forward to the end. And oh, you're in like the Library of Congress now. I don't really know why, but go forward till you get to the end. And like,
I
there's
mean,
not a whole lot of plot to hold all these seemingly random locations in Washington, D.C. together.
like it's one thing, it's a lot of games nowadays, the story is very linear, but even in this game, the levels were very linear. I mean, there was only one place to go. There was no way around it. I mean, it didn't seem that explorable.
And there's not a whole lot of cutscenes either to tell the story.
Right.
The cutscenes are really like watching GoldenEye N64 cutscenes, where it's just like short bits at the beginning and the ends of each level. They're not actual like cutscenes that explain any of the story. They don't show crazy plot twists. There's nothing like they didn't really step outside the first-person shooter engine a whole lot to make some cool-looking cutscenes that show aliens invading and all this other stuff that's going on. It's just very like kill aliens that are invading. And I mean, there's some decent like dialogue in between each mission that's shown on like a video phone
Kind of
type of
remind me of
thing.
Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, exactly. Like a very Metal Gear Solid type of conversation thing. But like, I don't know, something about the whole story. Like, I was expecting this really engaging story about an alien invasion, and what we got was just kind of a very, oh, aliens are invading the Library of Congress, go over there. Oh, aliens are invading near the Washington Monument, go over there. And I'm just like, oh,
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's not bad. It's really not bad if you just like straight up shooters. It's
Now.
very old school like Perfect Dark or GoldenEye or something
Actually,
like that.
I think there was a review on IGN that said this basically feels like a revamped Perfect Dark.
Yeah. I mean, if you like old style shooters like that, that relied much more on shooting and going forward than anything else, then by all means. But I
Yeah.
mean, there's just not a whole lot of exploring to do. The levels
Right.
are very, very linear. You
Right.
have to do everything at a specific time, and you can't really decide in what order you want to do it.
Okay, now before we get into the multiplayer, because I know we're both begging to do multiplayer, what were your thoughts on the controls?
Oh, that's an interesting thought. At first, with the default control scheme, I wasn't overly impressed. I'm not gonna lie. I had been playing Call of Duty World at War quite a bit on the Wii, and I really, really got to like those controls after playing it for a little while. I turned up my cursor speed a little bit on Call of Duty, and with that slight adjustment, it just made the game feel right, and I was having no problem going through the levels and doing exactly what I wanted to do, making nice shots and stuff like that. So when the default control scheme of the Conduit was like I first got a hold of it, everything just felt really slow to me.
Yeah.
The dead zone in the middle of the screen seemed a little bit too big. The cursor didn't seem responsive enough, and I don't know, but the fact that you can tweak all these things exactly to your liking is what really sold me on it. And I
Right.
mean, it took me quite a few tries to get something I really like, but now I'm pretty sure I have what's probably my favorite controlling shooter. But one thing I was disappointed that you couldn't change was how the character moves. That was my biggest problem. Your character, like, floats around a lot. I think the characters are kind of like this in Halo too. We're like, they kind of just like they don't feel like they're like latched onto the ground. They feel like they're
Right.
floating around. And as a result, like if you go to the left and quickly turn to the right, it feels like your character kind of like has to like lose their momentum going to the left first before they can swing back to the right. And I just thought that was kind of awkward and unnecessary, given that you're just supposed to be a regular human in a suit.
So would you say it felt like the controls had no friction?
Yeah, exactly. Like it just feels like you have no friction on the ground. Like
Okay.
you run forward and you can't just like stop. You have to like slide a little bit.
Okay, now before we discourage people, I played the entire game with the default controls. I had no problem. The default controls are just, they are great if you haven't played any other first-person shooters on the Wii. Obviously, Nick plays Call of Duty a lot, so he had to tweak them just a little bit. But I played with the default controllers, default settings. And me being someone who comes from a PC first-person shooter point of view, I had no problem whatsoever getting used to them. I thought they were fine the way they were.
Yeah. One big thing though I would definitely recommend to people is to tighten the dead zone. If you don't adjust any of the other control sensitivity options, definitely tighten the dead zone because it feels much more responsive and much more like a PC shooter if you do that.
You think so? Because I didn't tighten it whatsoever.
Well, I'm just saying if you tighten the dead zone, it means that like, well, what the dead zone is, if case gamers don't know, it's a box in the middle of the screen that it's basically where you can point the Wii remote without your character turning. And the default control set has a pretty big bounding box,
Yeah.
pretty big box. And I mean, so it to, in order to turn the character, you have to point the controller quite a bit away from the center of the screen to turn. And I reduced the box to about half the original size. And it just felt a lot more responsive and a lot more easy to turn and stuff like that.
Maybe I'll try that later.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's definitely worth a look at.
And
But
I gotta say, one thing that I do enjoy that a lot of games don't do this, and I kind of wish they did, is the ability to customize every single control. Like you're able to go down to the button and customize the controls, and I feel like a lot of games don't do that, and I also feel like that a lot of people complain about the default settings of controls on the Wii. So if you don't like the controls on the Wii, you have nothing to complain about because you can customize them to your will.
exactly. No, I had no problem with the default button layout, but like if people don't like it, then they have no excuse. Just go into the menu, pick what you want, where you can even set what you want the motion controls to be.
Right.
So like, I mean, you can it's pretty endless.
Yeah. Okay, one more thing before we get into multiplayer. We covered graphics, we covered controls, and that's everything that the game itself promised to deliver on. But I thought one thing that I just didn't expect whatsoever was the sound of the game. Not just the music, but the way the sound effects and the ambiance provided just one of the best atmospheres I've ever played a shooter game on a console.
Yeah, no, the sound effects are definitely cool. I like them. I like the sounds of a lot of the guns too.
Yeah,
And did I mention the reload animations
no,
are
you haven't.
awesome?
Yeah, they're pretty badass.
You just have to see some of these animations. And like, especially some of the Drudge weapons, they're just so cool because they're like organic weapons. Like they're like animals almost that you put on your hand and shoot.
Yeah.
It's weird,
It's
but
really
they're
cool.
awesome.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, the Drudge are the aliens in this game, and one of their weapons, I forget what it's called, but it's basically like this giant, it's like a rifle in your hand, and you open it up and stick like this huge ball of what looks like lava, but you're told it's biomass, and it sounds like you're stepping on like tomatoes. It, it's
Yeah.
it's such a squishy, squirmy type of sound, and it fits so perfectly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've seen like shotguns and pistols and sniper rifles and 100 other shooters. It's definitely cool to have something new like that.
Right. Okay, before we get into things that we hate about it, let's get into the best part, the multiplayer.
The
If
multiplayer.
Okay, and as I stated this in my post, if you buy this game, you are not buying it for the single player because I honestly think that the single player mode is mediocre at best. You are buying it for the multiplayer because it's probably the best multiplayer experience I've ever experienced on the Wii.
Oh, by far. It's definitely the best multiplayer game on the Wii. And I mean, the single player definitely fun enough to play through, but you buy this game for the multiplayer and it
Right.
definitely delivers. It allows 12 people to play online at in the same room together, either in public servers or private servers. You can customize the game mode. You can customize, I mean, and there are a lot of game modes. There's like 10 or 11 different game modes. You can choose the map. You can choose things like that you normally only find on a PC, like spawn times
I don't
and
think you can't choose spawn times. I think it just comes around with the game type.
yeah, or
But
that,
I think
but
that
like the
what?
fact that they even thought of changing the
Right.
different spawn times was really
The
cool.
fact that they vary is nice.
And you can choose what types of weapons you want, like what type of weapon set.
I suggest explosive because those are just the best.
There's just, and there's a lot of game modes too. There's capture the ASC,
Basically, a capture the
which
flag
is
type.
capture the flag, only instead of a flag, you use each team's all-seeing eye from the single-player game. And then there's like a variation of that called single ASC, which is the same thing, but there's only one ASC to capture. And then there's all kinds of level, different modes. There's Bounty Hunter, which you get assigned to a specific person that you need to kill, and it takes off points for killing anybody else. And there's just so many different modes on this, and it all runs from what I've played so far. It was as fairly, like pretty much lag free. I never ran into really big lag issues. It ran smoothly. The controls were nice. It was just a whole lot of fun. And if you have a Wii and are looking for a really fun online experience, the Conduit is absolutely worth it.
Right. And something I think we kind of expect from a game, but you didn't talk about, is that there's three game types. There's single player, there's deathmatch, and then there's what they call objection, team objection, which basically all it is capture the flag stuff. But each one has the typical stuff. They have the set limit of kills, the timed limit. I mean, there is nothing better than playing a 20-minute map with explosive weapons. It's just awesome.
Yeah, and I mean the game modes seem pretty balanced. I mean, oh, and plus it supports Wii Speak, so anybody that wants to get online and start trash talking can do it with Wii Speak. And I mean, there's just really, it was incredible. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty awesome. It, and I'm definitely gonna be playing a lot more in the future, and I really hope that it gets kind of a following like Halo or something like that did on one of the other consoles.
I don't think it's gonna get a following like that.
Just some type of reliable people that'll be playing this long after it's
Right.
released.
Yeah. Another thing we didn't talk about, and it's really not that important, is the fact that you get experience on multiplayer and you can level up. But the only problem is, I don't know if you've noticed this. I know I told it to you last night, but I don't know how far you progressed. Is that leveling up does absolutely nothing except for change the little symbol that comes up next to your name. You don't get any new weapons, you don't get any abilities or anything.
That's a good thing and a bad thing, because the bad thing is you don't feel like you're getting rewarded for leveling up.
Right.
But the thing about that is that
It's fair
there
for
were those
everyone.
annoying people that used to level up really fast, and then they'd get weapons that would make you horrible compared to them,
Right.
and then they would level up even more, and then it would just be harder for you to level up.
Right.
So like it would make it it makes it a bit more fair and evenly balanced. I know, like in Call of Duty World at War, once you get to the last level, you get the flamethrower, and like one hit with that, and your character gets on fire and dies. So like it just makes it completely unfair whenever you're fighting somebody with a flamethrower.
Right. I will say this though, although you don't get anything for leveling up, you level up pretty constantly. It's a pretty good progression of leveling. I thought it was very nice.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. If definitely get this game if you have a Wii and you want to have a new first-person shooter multiplayer, 'cause it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and if you want, send us an email and we'll actually give you a friend. Oh, I'll give you my friend code and we can play online sometime.
Yeah, no, definitely. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So.
We're gonna finish up this podcast and go play with Dave.
Yeah, no, we're definitely gonna go play some in a few. So,
Yeah.
I guess that's the end of the episode.
Did we miss anything with the conduit? I mean, we did have a couple flaws. Well, I had a couple flaws with the engine. If you want to know about that, you can go read my blog post. But did you have anything bad about to say?
No, I mean, I said, I mean, most of the negative stuff is just the fact that the single player isn't all what it could have been.
Right.
But I mean, the game is definitely worth buying for the multiplayer.
Definitely. If you're gonna just play single player, just rent it or borrow it. Don't buy it. But if you're gonna play for the multiplayer, you will be playing this for hours on
Yeah,
end.
especially if you don't have a game like Team Fortress 2 or something like that.
Which I have, but I decided to play the conduit
The
anyways.
conduit is still pretty good, though.
It's definitely the best online experience I played on the Wii.
Oh, by far, no question. Yeah,
I
definitely.
mean, we do complain there's a little lag. The servers occasionally hang, but as me and Nick have discussed many times in the past couple days, the game just came out. Within the next couple weeks, the developers will probably fix out all those bugs. So I mean, in time, it'll be fine.
Yep. So we'll
I
see you online.
yeah. Send us an email. We'll play you online. I feel like there's something we missed. I can't think of it. But you know what? That doesn't matter because our episode is over. If you want to go to the blog, it's thebrpodcast.blogspot.com. You can go to my blog at college-gamers.blogspot.com. Follow me on Twitter at thebeast33. Our email, thebrpodcast@gmail.com. And did I miss anything?
No, not that I can think of.
Awesome. Okay. We will see you next week, and maybe we'll play with you later this week. Have a good day.
Have a great day.